Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Me'ilah Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. With the beginning of our new Masechta, Maseches Me'ilah, word of introduction is in order. Me'ilah is the improper benefit that one receives from that which has been sanctified. In other words, being that something is sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, one is not supposed to derive personal benefit from that item. And in the event that one does, he is said to be in violation of Me'ilah. When one violates the prohibition of Me'ilah, he is to pay the Beis HaMikdash for the value of that which he benefited. And in addition to that, there is an expectation upon the sinner to bring a korban called an Osham Me'ilos. That is a very general statement. However, we have to make a distinction between the realm of Kodshei Kodshim versus Kodshim Kalim. Kodshei Kodshim, high-level sanctity items, when one sanctifies them, they immediately become forbidden to the tune of Me'ilah. In other words, if one were to derive personal benefit from an item sanctified as Kodshei Kodshim, he would be in violation of Me'ilah. This is not the case of one who benefits from something that was dedicated as Kodshim Kalim, Kalim being a lower level sanctity that's associated with other kinds of sacrifices. For example, in the realm of Kodshei Kodshim, you will find a Korban Osham, a Korban Oilo, a Korban Chatos, and Menochis, and the meal offerings. And in the realm of Kodshim Kalim, you'll find a Korban Shlomim, a Meiser Behemo, a Bechor, and there are other examples. When one derives benefit from Kodshei Kodshim, as we said, he is immediately in violation of Me'ilah. With regard to Kodshim Kalim, though one is not supposed to derive personal benefit from them, nevertheless, if one does so, he is not in violation of Me'ilah. However, after the korban is slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled, when you're dealing with Kodshei Kalim, the innards of that animal become forbidden b'me'ilah. In other words, if one were to benefit from the innards of those kochim kalim after zrikas adam, they now carry with it a me'ilah penalty. The opposite is the case with regard to kochei kochim. After the korban is slaughtered and its blood is sprinkled, they become mutar l'kohanim. And once something achieves a heter l'kohanim, it is allowed, once something achieves a level at which a Kohen can now benefit from it, can eat it, can receive his portion, if someone else derives personal pleasure from it, they will not be in violation of Me'ilah. So we have to bear in mind as we go through these sugyas in this Masechta, to bear in mind that with regard to Kodshim, as soon as they're sanctified, they take on the Me'ilah prohibition. With regard to Kodshim Kalim, the issue is, will they enter the realm of Me'ilah? So one is a function of exiting Me'ilah, and the other is entering the realm of Me'ilah. Another word of introduction that we've included on Daf Beis, you might notice on the outside margin of the page, we have something called Hakdoma, an introduction. And we've written as follows. K'chol shekilkul ba'avodas ha'korban yoser gadol. The in the processing of the korban, if there is a mess up on what you are supposed to do, in other words, the technical procedures are not followed as according to law, the greater the departure from the proper way, yesh yoyser tzad lomar shelo yehe boi mi'ila. There's a greater chance of saying that there will no longer be a mi'ila violation relevant to such a korban. So that if, and what we're saying here is an idea that exists in theory, as you will see in, when we go through the Gemara, but the idea is that the greater the ruination of the korban in terms of procedure, the greater chance there is that there will be no more mi'ila if one were to benefit from it. Why is that? It's similar to a sacrifice that dropped dead. The Omer of Yochanan Kodshim Shemesu Yotsu Midei Me'ila Devar Torah. We will see this later in the Gemara, that sacrifices that died, they leave the realm of Me'ila on a Torah level. V'lachein, kisha'afilu b'mikrim elu shel kilku godol adayin yesh bo Me'ila. Therefore, if we discover that in processing a korban, there is a significant mess up of what you're supposed to do, and we see that still there exists a mi'ila prohibition, that would constitute yesh bazeh mishum chidush gadol. That would be a big chidush, a very very enlightening point of law. It's going to be this point that our Mishnah will convey. Just to review, if you have, based on Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, an animal that a sacrifice that dropped dead, so that will not be, that won't carry with it a Me'ila violation. Even though we know it's forbidden to enjoy or to benefit from things that were sanctified, as long as they haven't been redeemed, you're not supposed to benefit from it. The question is, will it be carry with it a mi'ila violation? So, if it drops dead, we say there will be no mi'ila violation. And likewise, there is a tendency to think that if in processing the korban, you mess up significantly in what you're supposed to be doing procedurally, that too would, one would think, will not carry with it, the korban, the sacrifice will no longer carry with it a mi'ila penalty. And as we said, if we see that still there is a mi'ila penalty, that constitutes a very interesting and novel point. Now, the Mishnah. Kodshei kodshim sheshochtem bedorim. High-level sanctity sacrifices that were slaughtered in the southern part of the temple courtyard, which is the wrong place for them to be slaughtered. Moyalin bohen. They carry with it a mi'ila penalty if one were to benefit from these improperly processed korbonas. Ketzad. Shochton badorom v'kibel domon batzafon. Slaughtering that took place in the southern part of the Azora, in the southern part of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and the receipt of the blood right after its slaughter took place in the north. That's the proper place for Kabbalah Saddam to take place. B'safon v'kibol domon b'dorom, or it was slaughtered in the northern part of the Azora, but the Kabbalah Saddam, the receipt of the blood from the animal, was in the southern half of the Azora. Shochat b'yom v'zorag b'layla, shechting by day, but the Zrikas Adam took place at night. Balayla v'zorak b'yom, or the Shita took place by night, and the Zrikas Adam by day. Oy sheshochton chutz lizmano, oy chutz lumkomo, or Shita was done with an improper mindset, namely to eat the meat chutz lizmano after its appropriate time, or to eat it in a wrong place. Moyalin bohen, in all of these cases, there will be a mi'ilah penalty. There's a mi'ilah prohibition. In other words, if someone benefits from these korbanos, they'll be in violation of mi'ilah. Klal omer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua teaches a general principle. Kol shehoya lo shas heter lekohanim ein molin bo. Anything that experienced a moment that it was allowed to be eaten by the kohanim, that then there would be no more mi'ilah. In other words, if a korban reached a point at which it could have been distributed to the kohanim, there would be no mi'ilah. V'chol shelo hoya lo shas heter lekohanim molin bo. And anything that did not reach a point in time in which kohanim could have benefited from it, there will still be mi'ilah. Eizohi shehoya lo shas heter lekohanim. What is an example of something that achieved, that had, where the korban, the sacrifice, had achieved the heter lekohanim? Well, shelona v'shinitneo. Shelona is a korban that was left beyond its time, or it became tamea. V'shiyotza, where it left the Azorah. The A Zohi Shalohoya Lo Shasheta Lekohanim. What's an example of something that did not have a moment at which point it would have been allowed to the Kohanim? Shinishchata Chusuzmano Chusum Kamo, where it was slaughtered with an incorrect mindset. It was slaughtered with the intent to eat it after its time, or slaughtered with the intent of eating it in the wrong place. V'shekiblu psulim v'zorchu as daman, or a case where the Kabbalah Saddam was done by someone puzzle, a puzzle did the Zurika Saddam. And likewise, those examples mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah would all be examples of things that, of korbanos, where there wasn't there was no heter lekehanim. The Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, let us take a look at our Nosei title heading that you find in the outside margin of the Gemara. We have written the following: Mishnosenu bo lehotzi midei havamina. The Mishnah is coming to have us, let's say, removed from a thought. The imyesh kilkul ba'avoda havei ki'ilu mesa, that if there is a ruination in the processing of the korban, that it would be considered as if it died. The omer Rabbi Yochanan kochim shemesu yotzu midei me'ila. We know that kochim, sanctified animals that die, leave the realm of me'ila, as we mentioned in our introductory remarks. Komash Molon Mishnosenu, our Mishnah comes to tell us, the Eino Kein, that if there is a mess up in the Avoda, it's not like it the animal died. Vadayin Yesh Bo Me'ilah. And if you're dealing with Kochei Kochim, even though there was a mess up in the Avoda, there still is a Me'ilah problem. Now the Gemara. Kotoni, it said in our Mishnah, Kochei Kochim Sheshochton Badorom Mo'alin Bohen, that if one slaughtered Kochei Kochim, high level sanctity sacrifices, in the southern part of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, there is still a Me'ilah problem. In other words, they still carry with it a Me'ilah penalty. So the Gemara, in seeing the Mishnah, reacts and says, Pshita, that's obvious. Mishum deshachtinon bedorom afikinun midei me'ilah. Because you slaughtered it in the southern part of the Azorah, which is incorrect, which is a wrong thing to do. Do you think that took it out? Afikinun is to take it out. That takes it out of the realm of me'ilah? In other words, when does something leave the realm of me'ilah? When you process it correctly and it achieves a heter lekohanim, as we saw in our Mishnah. then it's removed from the realm of Mila. Here, where you did something wrong, of course it doesn't leave the realm of Mila. You were unsuccessful in processing the korban. So the Mishnah seems to be teaching us something that's obvious. The Gemara answers, Itzterich. No, it's not so obvious. I need our Mishnah to tell me that even though I messed up, there still is Mi'ila. You'll notice that the Gemara now presents a long answer. We have illustrated this with an encircled tuff that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that these lines of Gemara form the answer, the teretz. And that's what the tuff stands for, the teretz. So the Gemara explains, I need our Mishnah and its teaching. Salkadai techamina, without the Mishnah, I would have thought, Hayol v'yomara ula amrab Yochanan kodshim shemesu, yotsu midei mi'ilo devar Torah. Sanctified items, sacrifices that have been sanctified, that died, they drop dead, they leave the realm of mi'ilo on a Torah level. In other words, from the Torah perspective, there is no longer mi'ila to sacrifices that dropped dead. Hochi nami, so to hear where they're processed improperly. Kotche kotchim legabi dorom, kemo dechankinun domi. High-level sanctity sacrifices slaughtered in the southern part of the Azorah is tantamount to strangling them, to killing them, and that would be a good reason for them not to carry with them a Me'ila penalty anymore. Kalmash Malon, we are informed as follows. Dekotshim Shemesu lo chozu klal. Rabbi Yochanan's din regarding sacrifices that drop dead, they're not fit for anything. Hence, there is no longer any Me'ila associated with them. They're not, it's a situation there, they become useless. Avol Doroim, but as far as what our Mishnah features, slaughtering Kotche Kotchim in the south, Nehi De'eno Roi Le Kotche Kotchim, granted, it's not fit, it's not a location fit for the processing of high-level sanctity sacrifices, avo ro'i hu l'kotchim kalim. It is a location fit for lower-level sanctity sacrifices. Therefore, as on this point, on these grounds, we see the Mishnah tells us there is a distinction between kotchim kotchim sheshochtam adorim and kotchim shemesu. Loma li lemisni kol hani. Here the Gemara asks, why do I need all of the examples that are featured in the Mishnah? Bearing in mind that with all at the end of all of the examples in the Mishnah, where where we basically describe a ruined processing of the korban, and there still is mi'ila, there is a necessity for each example. Tzrichi. And the Gemara explains, I need each one. Before going ahead, let us just remind ourselves, we have a note that we've included, Yesh Lizkar. The note is where you see the starred point on the in the margin. Yesh Lizkar, Debekotche Kotchim, Nekudas Haschola, Hu Shiyesh Bohem Ila, Mishas Hakdoshosam. When you're dealing with kotche kotchim, there is mi'ilah from the point that you sanctified them. Umatras ho'avodah, the purpose of the avodah, im hi re'uya, if it's done properly, lehoitzi'am mi mi'ilah, to remove the kotche kotchim from the mi'ilah penalty. V'chol ze benigud l'kotchim kalim. This is all in contrast with kotchim kalim. She'im avodosam nasis kedin oz yiyeh be'emurehem mi'ilah. Then you will elevate the innards of the kotchim kalim to a realm of mi'ilah. So proper avoda by kotchim kotchim will remove them from mi'ilah, and properly executed avoda with kochim kalim will bring the emurim, the innards of those sacrifices, to a mi'ilah status. So now our Gemara, Tzrichi. We need all the examples. Now you'll notice we have a series of triangles. Looking at the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading, we see the triangle featured. Hezberim, we will see explanations. Loma Tzrichin Kol HaDugmois Shala Mishnah. Kol, why do I need all of the examples of the Mishnah? Kol Hamatzavim Shiesh Adayin Mi'ila. All of the cases that the Mishnah emphasizes that there still is Mi'ila. De'ilo tani lahu hoisi choshev she'ein bohem mila. The point here is that if they weren't taught, I would have thought that there is no longer mi'ila. So now the Gemara. Itana shochton b'dorom v'kibel domon b'tzafon. Had the Mishnah taught that example, hacha hu de'is behu mi'ila. In this case, where you slaughtered it in the south and received the blood in the north, that being a proper location, the shita was problematic. Here, I would say there is mi'ila, and it's not considered as if you just killed the animal. Mishum dekabola b'tzafon havoi, because the receipt of the blood was done properly in the proper location. But in a case where you slaughtered them in the proper location, but was Makabel received the blood in the wrong location, since the Kabbalah Sadam was done in the wrong location, Nofik Mide Me'ila. I would have thought that since you did the Kabbalah Sadam, which is a central type activity, and we know that because Kabbalah Sadam is fit to be done only by a Kohen, and if there's a mess up in the Kabbalah Sadam, that would be considered like simply having murdered or killed the animal. So had I not been taught this, I would have thought that case of Shochat B'Tzafon and Kibbol Domon B'Dorom, since the Kabbalah was messed up, that animal would leave the realm of Mi'ila. Therefore, the Mishnah has to tell me that case as well, there is still Mi'ila. V'i tana hani, had we taught those cases, hava mina yamama zman hakrovahu. Those were examples of mess-ups, but at least they were done during the daytime hours, which is the proper time for sacrificial activity. Aval shachta balaila v'zorak bayom, where the animal was slaughtered by night and the sprinkling of the blood by day, laila lav zman hakrova, the nighttime is not fit for offering sacrifices. V'hai d'shochat balaila, and that which you slaughtered it at night, emo d'nofik midei me'ila, I would have thought that is an example of simply killing the animal, and Rabbi Yochanan's din would kick in, and therefore there would be no more ne'ilah. Therefore, it was necessary to teach that case as well to tell me that there is still ne'ilah. V'i tana shachta balaila, and had we taught that case, havamina hoyo v'kibel doma bayom is bo ne'ilah. Since at least you did the Kabbalah Sadam by day, so there is still Mi'ila. Aval shochton bayoim v'zorak domon balayla. But this case where you shechted it by day and did the Zrika Sadam at night, hayol v'lav zman hakrovahu, and it may be pointed out that the sprinkling of the blood is the main activity done when processing a korban, and you did that at night, and since the nighttime is not fit for offering sacrifices, keman dechan kinun domi,
that that would be like killing it. Velo is behu mi'ilah, and there should be no mi'ilah. Kamash malon, the Mishnah therefore has to tell me that even in that case, where the shechita was by day and the zrika sadam was at night, there still is mi'ilah. It's not considered as if you simply killed the animal. The Mishnah featured other examples, chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo lamai chazu. An animal whose shechita was done with an incorrect mindset by way of time or by way of place. In other words, with the intent to eat the meat beyond the right time or to eat the meat in the wrong location. The Mishnah says that there still is mi'ilah. So our question is, lamai chazu, what is it fit for that there should still be mi'ilah? Why wouldn't you consider that simply like just killing it? So the Gemara answers, hoyil umeratzin lepigulin. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Now Rashi, you'll have to take note, spills over till Omid Beis, so that if you're going to look for the Rashi commentary that's relevant to the, that's connected to the last couple lines of Gemara, you'll notice on Omid Beis. And here we're reading the Rashi from the third line from the top of Omid Beis. Umeshani hayu umeratzin lepigulan. Klomar. Hayu v'hai shchitas pigol. Since the shchita, the slaughtering with a pigol mindset, lo chashiva kulehai, it lacks significance. De le'olam lo mikba bepigol lechayev kores at yikuvu kol matirov kemitzvoso. Something doesn't become established as pigol to carry with it a kores penalty until you do all of the sacrificial procedures properly. She yizur kadam kidam. That means you should sprinkle the dam with a proper mindset. Kamrinon basachas vochem pigol hu leyotze. Kamrinon tatzos kosher dechtiv be yotze lechaper kachar tzos posel. The pigol. That just like if for a korban to be kosher, the subsequent stages have to be done properly. So too with pigol, the subsequent stages have to be done properly. Mar sos kosher lo hurtza at shikruvu kol matirov lishmoi kachar sos posel lo nikba psug pigul chayvoi kores at shikruvu kol matirov l'shem pigul v'hainu meratzin shemeratza hazrika l'mikbe v'pigul v'kevon t'ho zrika chashuva kol kach t'tzricha meratzin l'pigul. Since the zrika is so significant in that it has to be done in a proper way in order for it to be established as pigul. Akati lo yotzos mikidushasa umoalin ba. Therefore, we say that if the shechita was done with the incorrect mindset, so that it hasn't become pigul yet, therefore it hasn't left the realm of mi'ilah. And that's what the, as far as what Rashi's pshat is concerned, he also should take note that Rashi began his commentary with the word klomar, which always indicates that you don't just translate that which the Gemara said, but you have to add interpretation, so that what we're seeing here is that a shechita shochat chutz lizmano chutz l'mkomo, since it doesn't become total pigul, which is a form of extreme ruination, until you reach the zrika stage. So at the point that the shechita was done, chutz lizmano, chutz l'mkomo, it hasn't been a, we'll call it again, a total ruination. Therefore, it still retains the mi'ilah prohibition, mi'ilah violation potential. We now continue the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis. The Gemara opens up with a question, and before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin for the Nosei, the topic heading. She'ela. The Gemara raises a question. Hapsulim hashnuyim b'mishnah. the different forms of korban ruination that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Ma dinom im olu al gabi hamizbeach. What is the law if you nevertheless brought those sacrifices onto the altar? Yerdu o lo yerdu. Should they be taken off or not, or left up there? Machlokes rabo rav Yosef. Besoch shitas rav Shimon. We will see a machlokes between Rabbo and Rav Yosef within the opinion of the Tano Rebbe Shimon, the Sover al Hanitnin Lamalo Shinosno Lamato Imolu Lo Yerdu. Rav Shimon argues with Rav Yehuda. We will be focusing on Shitas Rav Shimon, who says that when the blood of a sacrifice is offered, is sprinkled on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, it's not a major catastrophe, and in the event that the sacrificial parts of such a korban were brought onto the Mizbeach, they are to be left there to be offered. So we see that Rav Shimon has a certain amount of tolerance or flexibility with regard to an improper procedure with regard to the sacrifices. We want to know how far does Rav Shimon go in his tolerance, and would he accept other types of errors in korban procedure that if they are brought onto the Mizbeach? Now, we're not saying you should bring it on for being offered, but if you did bring it up to the top of the Mizbeach and put it in the fire, should they stay there? Now the Gemara. Ivayalaho, Iolu Mahu Shiyardu. If the mistakes mentioned in the Mishnah by way of korban procedure, for example, he shechted a kochei kochim in the dorom, what would be the din if the korban parts that are supposed to be offered on the top of the Mizbeach were actually brought up to the Mizbeach? Should they remain on the top of the Mizbeach and then be put into the fire for offering, or should they be taken off the Mizbeach? Rav Omar im olu yerdu. Rav Yosef Omar im olu lo yerdu. So we have a machlokes amoroyim. Rabbo says if they were brought up, they should be taken off, and Rav Yosef says leave them up there. Alibo de Rav Yehuda lo tiboy aloch. Within the Tanaic opinion of Rav Yehuda, we are not raising this question. The kule amo lo pligi, everyone will be in agreement. The im olu yerdu. Namely, even Rav Yosef will agree that as far as the Tana, Rav Yehuda, is concerned, if they were brought up, namely the mistakes mentioned in the Mishnah, were brought on to the top of the Mizbeach, they are to be taken down. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Shimon. The machloikis, Rabbo, and Rav Yosef will be within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who had mentioned, and we'll just review the point, that when blood application is done below that time, or a korban whose blood is supposed to be applied to the lower half of the Mizbeach, that was applied to the upper half of the Mizbeach, for example, a korban shlomim, the blood sprinkling is to be done on the lower half of the Mizbeach. Let's say you did the sprinkling on the upper part of the Mizbeach, and then you brought the innards of that korban to the top of the Mizbeach. So you had it's a case of nitnin lamata, shinosnon lamala. Rav Shimon, the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, says, leave the korban parts on the Mizbeach. Don't bother taking them off. So now, what about our Amoroyim here? Rav Yosef Kriv Shimon. Rav Yosef, who you saw in the second line, says, Imolu lo yerdu. He's straight like Rav Shimon. Look, you brought it up, leave it there. Rabbo, Omar Lochen. Here it takes a few lines to develop Rabbo's point, hence we use a long marking that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a Rabbo's name written and encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. Rabbo will tell you, Rabbo Omar Loch, ad kan lo kom Rabbi Shimon. Up till now, Rabbi Shimon has expressed a leniency. Elo benitnin lamato shenosnon lamalo. that his leniency is with regard to mislocation of blood application. Things nitin lamato, blood of those kind of sacrifices that are supposed to be applied to the lower half of the mizbeach wall that were applied improperly to the upper half, oy benitin lamala shenosna lamato, or those that were those kind of sacrifices who are supposed to be applied above and were done improperly below. Ulaolam deshachton v'kibol domon batzafon. However, the slaughtering and the receipt of the blood was done in the northern part of the Azara, which is a part that is suitable for all sacrifices. So that, as far as Rabba is concerned, Reb Shimon's tolerance is because it's a mess up on the blood location on the Mizbeach, where, provided the Shechita and the Kabbalah were done properly, Aval Hocha, but in as far as the Mishnah is concerned, Aval Hocha, Kevon Deshochton Badorom, since the first stage was done in the wrong place, the Shechita was done in the southern half of the Azora, and you shechted a kochei kochim over there, even Reb Shimon will agree, Keman Dechankinun Domi. It's as if you simply killed it. And therefore, if they were brought on to the Mizbeach, they shall be taken down. The Gemara now goes on to evaluate these opinions. We have Rabo and Rav Yosef, and we do this through a Tanaic citation. Tanan, Kodshe Kodshim, Sheshochtem Badoro, Moalin Bohen. High-level sanctity sacrifices that were slaughtered in the southern part of the Azora still carry with them a Me'ila penalty. Bishlamo the Rav Yosef, things are more easily understood according to Rav Yosef. Nicha means it's well, it's fine, it's good. Rav Yosef said, Lo Yerdu. Well, what did Rav Yosef say? He says, leave them up on the top of the Mizbeach. And by the way, we should point out that this is a quote from our Mishnah, and we were trying to establish now, can our Mishnah be in agreement with Shitas Rav Shimon? The Machlokas Rabo and Rav Yosef we mentioned was within the Shita of Rav Shimon. So we have this citation from our Mishnah, which says that there still is Mi'ila. Even though there was a location mess up, location by slaughtering location mess up, it still has Kedusha. That fits in with Rav Yosef's approach, who says, Lo Yerdu, since they still have sanctity, the Mishnah tells us that there still is Mi'ila, and that shows us that they still have sanctity. And as a result of that, I understand that if it was brought to the Mizbeach, leave it up there. You're dealing with something that still has sanctity. Elo Rabo Kashya, but according to Rabo, you're telling me to take off the top of the Mizbeach, something that still has sanctity to it. The Gemara re-answers, my Moalin Bohen. What does Moalin Bohen in the Mishnah indicate? Nidarabonin. It's a rabbinic penalty, a rabbinic violation if one derives benefit from it. Namely, on a Torah level, they really have no sanctity whatsoever. And hence, it's understandable why Rabbah says, get it off, take it off the top of the Mizbeach. As far as I'm concerned, it's a total ruination. Take it off the Mizbeach. Ah, that which the Mishnah says, that there's Mal in Bohem, that's only rabbinic. My Iko Bein Doraisa Lirabonon. What's the difference between Mi'ilo Doraisa and Mi'ilo Dirabonon? Answer, Doraisa Mishalmin Choymesh. Dirabonon Loi. When one is in violation of Mi'ilo on a Torah level, one has to pay the value of the benefit that he derived from the sanctified item plus a fifth. If it's a rabbinic me'ilah violation, so one has to pay for that which he benefited, however, no addition of a fifth. The Gemara asks, "Mi'ikah mi'ilah midrabanan? Is there such a concept as mi'ilah on a rabbinic level?" The Gemara answers, "In there is the Omar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan Kotshim Shemesu Yotsu Midei mi'ilah Devar Torah." Sanctified animals that die, they leave the realm of mi'ilah, devar Torah, on a Torah level. So that point that they leave the realm of mi'ilah on a Torah level leaves us room to infer alma midoraisa lo is lahon b'derabonon is lahon. And in the case of animals that drop dead, Rabbi Yochanan says there is no more Torah mi'ilah, but there is rabbinic mi'ilah. Hachinami midrabanan. So too, in our examples of the kotshei kotshim shishochta badorom, the examples in our Mishnah when we say ma'alim b'hen, it too is an example of mi'ilah derabanan. The Gemara now raises a question, and it's a question that we've marked with a diamond, and this is explained on the outside margin under our No Say Mivne heading. The word tanino you will see in a diamond. Ma mechadesh ula im dino. What we're going to be asking is, what does ula tell me that I wouldn't have known from an earlier Tanaic source? Ula's din is kodshim shemesu yotsu midei mi'ilo midoraisa. That kodshim that died leave the realm of mi'ilo on a Torah level. What is he telling me im hukvar shonui b'mishnayis, if the mishnayis already allude to that concept? So according to Rabba, how did Rabba understand our Mishnah? That kodshe kodshim that were improperly processed, there is mi'ilo only derabonan. Well, improperly processed kochim is similar to the idea of the animal simply dropping dead. You notice you're messed up in the procedure. It's like, for all intents and purposes, a drop dead. And the Mishnah says mo'alin behen, and you, Rabba, are understanding mo'alin behen to mean mi'ilo derabonan. What does ula really come to add then? So the Gemara asks, Lema Rabba Tanina Laha de Ulam Rabbi Yochanan. Should we say that according to Rabba, the din of Ula Om Rabbi Yochanan is already taught in the Mishnah? And if that be the case, so what does Ula Om Rabbi Yochanan have to speak up for when we would already know it from an earlier Tanaic source? The Gemara answers, Afal Gav de Tanina, even though the Mishnah makes an allusion to what Ula was trying to say, Itzdurich de Ula, I still need Ula to spell out what he said. For had I had just the Mishnah, Salka Daito Chamina, I would have thought, Hocha, in the case of the Mishnah, where the animal didn't just drop dead, it was slaughtered, but in the wrong place. Lo bedelin minhon. People don't stay away from it. It's not, we'll say, it's not so disgusting. After all, you're dealing with an animal that was slaughtered, and that on a technicality, it was slaughtered in the wrong place. Aval kotshim shemesu, but an animal that didn't even receive a proper slaughtering, it simply dropped dead. It's a nevela. It's a carcass. And as Rashi says, it's mos. It's viewed as disgusting. Hayu uvedelin minhain, since people stay away from it. Emo, I would have thought, without Ula's teaching, afilu mi'ilo midorabonon loy, that there isn't even a rabbinic prohibition of benefiting from it. The rabbis, I would have thought, would not have imposed any Mi'ila violation, because people anyway would have stayed away from it. There's no fear that people are going to come to derive personal benefit from it. And therefore, there should not have been any need for rabbinic intervention. Komash Molon Ula comes to tell me that there is Mi'ila Darabonan. The Gemara asks, Mesu Nami Tanina. But in the realm of Mesu, that seems to have already been taught in a Tanaic source. Once again, the question is, what is the necessity of having Ula? So where do we see a case of Kochim Shemesu in a Tanaic source? The following, Hanene Min Hachatos Kishi Chaya. If a person benefited from a blemished sin offering while it was alive, Lo Mo'al Ad Shif Goim, there is no Mi'ila violation until he diminishes the value of the animal, causes a depreciation. That's Yifgom. Ukshi Mesa, when you're dealing with a dead, and notice we've dashed, underlined the word Mesa, that's the tie-in to our sugya. Kevon Dinene Kolshehu Mo'al, any benefit you have, even if it's whatever value, whatever minimum amount, Mo'al, there is Mi'ila Derabonan. Even if you don't cause any additional depreciation. Rashi adds, at the bottom line of the Rashi commentary, V'hai Mo'al Midarabonan Hu, this Mi'ila is Derabonan. It's clearly Derabonan. Everyone agrees that after an animal is dead, there's no longer mi'ila midoraisa. The elamai mo'al, Rashi continues at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, elamai mo'al midorabonan. The mi'ila is rabbinic. V'ahachahu b'chatos me'isa de mo'al de chamura kudushos el chapor asya. Let us, at this point, just go back to the Gemara and see what the problem is. We have a Tanaic source that indicates, here we're dealing with a chatos, a sin offering that died, and there's an indication here that there is me'ila. If that be the case, what does Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan teach me that I wouldn't have already known from this source? So the Gemara answers, Salka Daitoch Amina. We're now at the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. I would have thought, Hoyol Ulechaporo Ka'asya, since you're dealing with a sin offering that comes to offer a person atonement, Lo Bedelin Mina. People have a sense of attachment to it. They want atonement, so they don't distance themselves from it. Avokotchim, but other kinds of sanctified animals, hoyol v'lav l'chaporo ko'osi, since they don't come to offer a direct form of atonement, and you're dealing with a kotchim that dropped dead, b'deili minhon v'les behu mila, people would stay away from it. Komash molon, here is what I have Ula Om Rabbi Yochanan telling me, that there still is Mi'ila, even though people would stay away from it automatically and on their own they wouldn't benefit from it. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan imposed Mi'ila even with regard to other types of Kochim. The Gemara will go on to ask about Chatos Shemesa. Does it really carry with it a Mi'ila penalty? But that topic will be the subject of our upcoming shiur. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.